Chapter 7. An Escape from Death. Frankie's Bentley stopped outside a large old-fashioned house. She jumped out and, turning, lifted a large bunch of expensive flowers from the back seat, then turned again and rang the doorbell. A nurse answered the door.
"Can I see Mr. Jones?" inquired Frankie.
The nurse looked at the Bentley, the flowers, and Frankie with interest.
"What name will I say?"
"Lady Frances Derwent."
The nurse was thrilled. A lady. Her patient must be more important than she thought. She showed Frankie upstairs into a room on the first floor.
"You've a visitor to see you, Mr. Jones."
"Gosh," said Bobby, very much surprised.
"Frankie!"
"Hello, Bobby. I've brought flowers that are more usually seen at a funeral, but the choice was limited."
"Oh, Lady Frances," said the nurse. "They're lovely. I'll put them into water."
She left the room. Frankie sat down in a visitor's chair.
"Well, Bobby," she said, "what's all this?"
"You may well ask," said Bobby. "My body took in 8 grains of morphia, no less. They're going to write about me in the British Medical Journal. Do you know, my girl, that 1/2 grain of morphia is a fatal quantity? I ought to be dead 16 times over. It's true that recovery has been known after 16 grains. Still, 8 is pretty good, don't you think?
This nursing home has never had a case like me before."
"How nice for them."
"Isn't it? You'll see. I will be famous," he said, and began telling Frankie every detail of his treatment.
"That's enough," said Frankie, stopping him. "I don't want to hear about how stomach pumps work. And to listen to you, one would think nobody had ever been poisoned before."
"Very few people have been poisoned with 8 grains of morphia and got over it," Bobby pointed out. "Really, Frankie, you're not impressed enough."
"It must be very annoying for the people who poisoned you," said Frankie.
"I know. What a waste of perfectly good morphia."
"It was in the beer, wasn't it?"
"Yes. They analysed the drops of beer left in the bottle. You see, someone found me sleeping like the dead and got frightened. He carried me to a farmhouse and sent for a doctor."
"Is there any clue as to how the morphia got in the bottle?" Frankie asked.
"None. They've opened other bottles at the pub where I bought it, and everything's all right."
"Then someone must have put the stuff in the beer while you were asleep."
"That's it."
Frankie nodded thoughtfully.
"Well," she said, "that decides it. That man, Alex Pritchard, was pushed over the cliff."
"What?" said Bobby, surprised.
"Darling, it's obvious. Why should anyone want to kill you? You're not the heir to a fortune. No one benefits by your death. There's revenge, of course. You haven't seduced a chemist's daughter, have you?"
"Not that I can remember," said Bobby.
"I know. One seduces so many people that one can't keep count. But I would guess that you've never seduced anyone at all."
"You're making me embarrassed, Frankie. And why must it be a chemist's daughter?"
"She would have free access to morphia. It's not so easy to get hold of morphia."
"Well, I haven't seduced a chemist's daughter."
"And you haven't got any enemies that you know of?"
Bobby shook his head.
"Well," said Frankie, "what do the police think?"
"They think it must have been a madman."
"Nonsense. Madmen don't wander about with morphia looking for bottles of beer to put it into. No, somebody pushed Pritchard over the cliff. A minute or two later, you came along and the murderer thought you saw something that you didn't think was anything, but which really was something. That sounds confused, but it's really logical. If you get 2 strange things happening in a quiet place like Marchbolt, wait, there's a third thing."
"What?"
"That job you were offered. It was strange, you must admit. You can see what I'm thinking. They first try to get rid of you by offering you a job abroad.
Then, when that fails, they try to kill you.
Isn't that rather extreme?
Oh, but murderers are very extreme.
Well, Frankie, what on earth am I supposed to have seen?
That is the question, admitted Frankie, getting up from the chair. I don't know. Shall I come and see you again tomorrow?
Please do.
By the way, you're back from London very soon, aren't you?
My dear, as soon as I heard about you, I raced back. It's most exciting to have a romantically poisoned friend.
Well, I'll come tomorrow. Do I kiss you or don't I?
It's not catching, said Bobby encouragingly.
Then I'll do my duty to the sick thoroughly.
She kissed him lightly. The nurse came in with Bobby's tea as Frankie went out.
Isn't she nice? The nurse said. Not a bit haughty, is she?
Oh, no, said Bobby. I should never call Frankie haughty.
I said to sister, I said, she's as natural as anything, not a bit as you would think a lady would be. I said to sister, she's just like you or me, I said.
Silently disagreeing violently from this view, Bobby made no reply. The nurse, disappointed by his lack of response, left the room. Left to his own thoughts, Bobby went over in his mind the possibilities of Frankie's amazing theory. He decided, reluctantly, as it made him feel important, against it. With a sigh, he picked up the previous week's Marchbolt Weekly Times. A moment later, he pressed the emergency bell, and a nurse came running.
"Ring up the castle," cried Bobby. "Tell Lady Frances she must come back at once."
"What do you want to see me about so urgently?" Frankie demanded.
Bobby waved the Marchbolt Weekly Times.
"Look, Frankie, this is the picture you said was touched up."
Underneath the somewhat blurred photograph were the words, "Photograph found on the dead man and by which he was identified. Mrs. Amelia Cayman, the dead man's sister."
"That's what I said, and it's true."
"No, you see, Frankie, this isn't the photograph that I put back in the dead man's pocket."
"That man who stayed with him, what's his name?" said Frankie.
"Bassington French," said Bobby. "He must have exchanged them."